Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and a broker here at Daniels Trading. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com or on Twitter. All my contact information is in the show notes. We work with farmers, speculators, online traders, broker-assisted, anything in between, and managed futures, so feel free to drop a line. All right, so if you're following along with Turner's Take Weekly Newsletter, which is free for anyone, I recently put out a little bit of a breakout in the wheat market here, the spring wheat. And the spring wheat market, since we went up above, we're up 20 cents today in July wheat, that's carrying all the other markets. So let's talk about wheat. Let's talk about crude. I wanted to do this last night, but it's the last week of school for my kids, and I coach lacrosse, and we're doing this is our week. I think Cub Scouts ends this week, lacrosse ends this week, school. So I've been real busy. So this is coming out late today, but we're going to get back on track next week when summer starts. So spring wheat is up 20 to 21 cents today. We closed over 575 last week, and since then, and I put that on my newsletter, we're up 40 cents. And here's the thing, I think we can go to 650 on this thing now. I wouldn't trade it. Wheat is pretty thin. And I actually, in the Turner's Take newsletter, the daily one I send out to clients, you know, we ended up having a buy stop in wheat, and we are along the Chicago contract just because it's a little bit easier to manage. A lot more liquidity. Plus, the funds are so short in that Chicago contract. Even if the spring wheat takes off, it'll drag up Kansas City and Chicago. And if the funds need to start piling out of that that Chicago wheat, I think July. I like being in July, so I've been writing a lot about that. But let's just talk about the situation. That spring wheat up in the northern plains is high protein wheat. It is dry out there. And when we saw the good to excellent Monday, the good to excellent ratings came out for spring wheat. It dropped 7%, good to excellent, which is a big, big move in any crop. We were at 62% good to excellent last week. We're at 55% this week. The conditions remaining dry and hot. We're expecting lower conditions. We're going to have a pretty poor yield out of there, and the protein isn't going to be so great. Now, here's the deal. That spring wheat is the high protein wheat. That is the spring hard, the hard red spring wheat coming out of that, which trades on Minneapolis. That does not have a very elastic supply and demand profile. It's actually quite inelastic, much like how soybeans can be. And I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast. Can't remember if I did or not. It might have been a radio interview. But the soybeans, you know, the reason why soybeans get so crazy sometimes when we have shortages is that it's such at a high protein demand for, you know, the meal and feed and all that. You can't get a really good substitute for meal in large quantities and soybeans for large quantities for that protein content. It's the same deal with this spring wheat. You know, you can blend off the Chicago and the Kansas City wheat pretty well and get by, but if you really need that high protein wheat, you need that spring wheat. And if there's a shortage of it, it could go a lot higher. We'll just have to see how high it goes, but you never know. But we are breaking out here to the upside in the spring wheat contract, and we're up about 21 cents today. So I said I would like to play the spring wheat contracts. I do like some of the bull spreads, and I've been writing about those in Turner's Take Market Alert. We also were getting, you know, had some buy stops in place for July wheat in case we broke out to the upside. And by the way, if you look at a chart of July wheat, this is the Chicago contract, draw a trend line on the day chart from the highs of last summer till now, you'll see a breakout here. That's what really got me excited about the wheat market. I mean, I've been waiting for a rally in wheat for a long time. We work with a lot of farmers here. I know wheat has been kind of a dog over the years, especially compared to corn and soybeans. But you know what? The job of the market is, hate to say it, sometimes to drive prices down so low that you lose acres. It spurs demand across the world, and you start to work off stocks. We're finally seeing that with wheat. We're going to see, the first time in quite a few years, the production of wheat be lower than what the demand is. We're going to see stocks come off, be a draw on the balance sheets. And for the spring wheat, we'll see how true this is. But on the spring wheat, when I see the supply and demand estimates from some of the analysts out there, because spring wheat is definitely not my specialty. I look at other experts when I'm talking about that. But based on their calculations, they can find ways where, you know, the balance sheet, we're at about zero. Now, that never happens because we have to price ration. But, you know, so there's the theoretical, like, you know, this is the supply, this is the demand, and in their minds, we're at zero. So what has to happen to not be zero in the balance sheet? Prices have to go up to ration demand, meaning the only people who are actually buying the spring wheat are the ones who absolutely need it. And if those can go down to a lower protein or blend some spring with maybe some hard red winter wheat, you know, they'll do that too. So that's the job of the market. That's why the spreads in the front month go over the back months. And that's why you see this kind of a breakout trade. So that's what's going on in spring wheat. Kansas City wheat areas out in the western Corn Belt there, they do have hot and dry weather. There is concerns about, you know, the crop conditions in the coming weeks. Not so much for the Chicago contract, but the Chicago contract is the one that, A, has the huge short in it, and two, there is a substitute, you know, in some way, shape, or form, especially with the Kansas City. But if you get the spring wheat trading higher, it's going to naturally bring up the wheat, Kansas City wheat, which will probably also help the Chicago wheat. You know, as I speak, spring wheat's up 21 in July, Kansas City's up 13, and Chicago is up 10. So that sounds about right to me. And so just keep an eye on the wheat markets. I also had a trade rec buying a call, selling a put, which we got filled on that too. I don't usually do those types of trades. I trade a lot of future spreads. I don't always get in. It's rare that I get into flat price futures or buy a call and sell a put kind of deal, unless we get like really big technical and fundamental stories. And this wheat one could be. I mean, considering the huge short in the Chicago wheat contract, considering that we're breaking trend lines that have been going on past a year, how low wheat is priced relative to the past 10 years, and this story about the Minneapolis wheat and the protein, it's one of the times where I'll actually take a shot with actually being, you know, long futures or getting into the futures market. So that's something that's been very exciting that we've been following along with. Crude oil, you guys know I've been bear spread crude, been bearish on the crude. Yesterday, oil was down about 5% on reports of, we had a build in the United States, crude and gasoline stocks. So if you take a look at the charts, it really came down. That was the energy reports that came out from the government. After that, this morning, we probably had some really big support trend lines, and crude seemed to bounce off those pretty good. So we're still bear spread. I still like the bear story in crude, but we've come down pretty big. We're down towards the ranges. And now what's going to happen here is either this is going to spur on demand. Maybe OPEC could talk about cutting production again. I'm sure we'll see news about rigs and things like that. But if we don't get a bullish catalyst, or maybe some kind of new skirmish fighting in the Middle East, but if we don't get a catalyst like that, we could keep on breaking down. The funds are long. If they want to ditch their positions or continue to sell and get out, that would push the market down. I'm going to stick with my positions. I definitely tightened up my stops and put targets in for those bear spreads in crude oil just to, you know, lock in a profit. But I also want to see if some of these things can run a lot lower. I've been a bear on crude for a while, and it's hard for me to turn bullish crude until we get into the low 40s. And I've been saying for quite some time, I think crude oil's a range-bound market for now. You know, the high 30s and certainly the low 40s would be my lower range for crude. over the course of the year, and you know, with the low to mid 50s, you know, to the upside, you know, it's hard to see crude getting up above that just with the amount of production that's around the world for crude oil, unless there's just a huge major demand driver, which would be economic growth, which we're not seeing right now. We see some economic growth, but we don't see, you know, massive economic growth. So that is what we're seeing in the crude market. Stay tuned with that. Otherwise, I'm not going to touch so much on cattle and hogs right now. I do think hogs will be supported here. You know, eventually, we're going to have a lot of hogs come onto the market. The June hogs seem pretty appropriately priced just because, you know, the current market right now, there is some pretty good demand. But demand could fade a little bit as we head deeper into the summer. Plus, we are expecting more production. That's why I was writing about that bear spread in July versus these. That is not for everyone. That's a wild ride. But, you know, for experienced hog traders, that might be something we'll take a look at. And I'll continue to write about that in Turner's Take Market Alert. The cattle, man, that has been a wild ride. I still like the bear spreads. I know I've been stopped out twice on that. It's actually been... we've been doing pretty well this year if it wasn't for the, you know, those cattle spreads every now and then. But I still think we're going lower. I know we'll see what happens with the cash prices and the auctions, but, you know, at some time we're going to break here. I think there's going to be a lot of cattle eventually coming on to the feedlots. I mean, from the feedlots to the market, just based on the recent cattle on feed reports. But the actual cash market right now is still tight, and that's going to sway the market the most. And we'll just keep an eye on that. Soybeans are a follower. Soybeans are a follower. I'm just going through my charts right now. We would have to break, you know, if July soybeans could break above like 955, we're at 945 now. That'd be a bullish break above the most recent trend lines. For November, we're almost right there. I mean, we're at 950 in November. If we can break over this, we go to 970 technically on the charts. Thing is, you know, it's hard to get bearish. It's hard to get very bullish on beans. You know, the story right now for the weather is corn. You know, the weather issues that the market's worried about is more in corn country. You know, we're going to have less acres. The corn isn't looking that great there. We need a lot of rain in a lot of places, especially Illinois, Indiana, parts of Missouri. So corn, December corn, we're at 408. If we close above here, you know, the next target on the chart for December corn is to be 420. So grains are exciting. I think December corn can go to 420. I think July wheat, if we break out here, maybe we can go to 480. I think you know, and with soybeans, maybe, you know, if we go up here, we can maybe go up another 30 cents. And considering the funds are very short, they're net short the grain markets heading into, you know, June here in a critical weather month, there's room for short covering. So if the weather keeps... Now, the thing is, the weather has to keep on getting worse. If we get rain and mild temperatures over the, you know, next week or two, then we're coming back. But if it stays hot and dry, that's really the name of the game here, it stays hot and dry, we keep on seeing stress on the crops, then we can keep going higher. And considering the big short in the market, you know, that could add some fuel to the fire also. So that's it for me today. It's a little bit short. It's a real busy week for me, not just in the office, but at home with school ending and sports ending and Cub Scout ending and stuff like that. But we're going to get back to the regular schedule next week. If you need anything, feel free to call me here at the Trade Desk. The phone is 312-706-7610. You can email me at cturner@danielstrading.com. All my information will be in the show notes. And then you can always go to the website, turnerstake.com. All my information will be there. So we're going to stay with our bearish view on crude. I'm turning bullish on the grains. I wouldn't say very bullish, but I'm turning bullish on the grains. That spring wheat contract, watch out. That's an interesting one to definitely keep an eye on. And as far as hogs and cattle, I can see the reasons for being short-term bullish, but with the supplies coming on for both of those in the next couple of months here, I can see how you might be a little bit more longer-term bearish. And that is where we will take it. So have a great week, and I'll talk to you all on Tuesday.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.